Crouch. Bind. Set.
Joe presents the House of Rugby, together with Guinness.
Hello and welcome to a new edition of House of Rugby, brought to you by Joe, together with our very good friends at Guinness. I'm currently trying to get my heart rate back down to around about anything under 160. The Lord has made me run. High knees, good sprinting action from the tube.
Tap the floor, yeah.
Something like that. How are we both? Tom May is back. Good first impression, means you get a second bite.
Thanks very much.
It's nice to have you back in the saddle. Yeah. We're going to talk Rugger this week, which is why we've subbed Hask out and brought in someone who actually knows.
Well, let's be honest,
about the game.
Thinking he can advance his career at the National TV Awards.
So Hask is at the National Television Awards this evening. Last night he
just
was at
basically hanging on to Roman's.
He was, isn't he? Yeah, there was a lot of cuddling action.
I'm here.
Last night he was at the British Takeaway Awards. Tomorrow someone else is opening another envelope somewhere else, and Hask will be.
I can imagine Hask
getting himself into
takeaways, right?
I can. Yeah, he's an absolute guru when it comes to.
What's
ordering from delivery, other delivery teams are available. How are you? You're a little bit sort of grumbly today.
I have a slight chest infection.
Right. Yeah. Has that cleared the airwaves? There's quite a lot of chat about the...
The airwaves have always been right. It's just a little bit in the...
Sorry, say that again. Just say that bit again for
it's
all the viewers. It's throaty, right. Good. You are feeling a bit... Yes, as producer Si just said, he's feeling a bit hoarse.
and
then he's laughed at himself.
Camera.
That's why he's way out west. So Hask isn't here, which means we can actually get stuck into some rugby, which is very nice. This is our Six Nations preview. Hold on tight, strap yourselves in. We are going to get to all things rugby in a moment or two, but we've actually got one of England's Red Roses joining us as well tonight. The unbelievably talented Jess Breach is going to come and have a chat about the Women's Six Nations. Before we do that, Kobe Bryant.
Oh no. Tragic.
Do you know, I've never watched basketball. I've never really sort of done the stateside sport, and I was really upset by it.
Yeah, well, no one wants to see someone that iconic. I was watching videos this week of them, because obviously he grew up with Jordan, and they like mimicked all their moves together, and obviously that he's learnt and sort of carried that baton and legacy of what, you know, he did with the Lakers and everything. And
yeah,
it's tragic, and even to make it more, having one of his daughters as well, and obviously leaving three daughters behind, it's... Mm.
Thoughts
with his family for sure.
Absolutely, we'd certainly echo that. I mean, just one of the icons, just one of the great icons of our youth
and sporting viewing. None of us are invincible. You never think icons like that it'll ever happen to someone like that. And you just think, you can tell what an impact he's had on world sport by just the general reaction, can't you?
Yeah.
You know, I didn't watch a huge amount of basketball, but you knew exactly who he was and what he'd done for not only basketball but sport on a whole. So, you know, tragic loss.
Very, very sad. Other bits in the news, moving from something very sad to something which has entertained me hugely recently, Series 3 of The Crown. Is your mother-in-law pleased with her portrayal?
I haven't actually watched it.
Have you not?
The first two. I haven't,
has Zed watched it?
I haven't started watching the third one yet, no. But
Zoe hasn't cracked the popcorn.
Not yet, but I am getting more and more feedback that I should watch it.
Really?
So I'm definitely...
It's very good.
I'm just going to binge it, I think.
Yeah, do that. Would she watch that, your mother-in-law? Would she be entertained or amused by it? Or has she got far better things to be doing?
I will ask.
Do. Can we have an update on that next week, please? Should we dip back into Saracens, because they are the gift that keeps on giving? Ed Griffiths, he came. He didn't quite conquer, he went.
What were the days?
That was 24 hours of...
Can't be many much more than a week.
It's been a week, isn't it? I mean, you sort of think they've reached the bottom, and then they sort of find a way to dig even deeper.
I wouldn't say it's been managed that well.
No. What was the purpose of him, A, coming in, and B, leaving again?
Well, I think the detail is probably to be refined, but there's been this big expose, or this story around his dealings when he was in the cricketing world. Cricket agent, but he wasn't a cricket agent. He was working for Middlesex, and I don't know the detail of it.
Grey areas.
Yeah, exactly. There seem to be a lot of grey areas right now, 50 shades of. What I did want to ask you about, though, is you've actually... I think you did some business with Nigel Ray back in the day. It's quite. We do need to say you toured in terms of clubs, but you never actually played for Saracens. So this isn't.
No,
a salary
I mean they would desperately get hold of me, but they never.
I can only imagine.
He invested in a company that I started while I was playing rugby, and was brilliant. He was all out to help. I set it up with Carl Heyman.
What was the company? How did you get it to Nigel?
So it was a rugby based business that was all about helping grassroots rugby and those grassroots clubs grow and manage themselves as small businesses as opposed to voluntary run businesses.
Right.
He loved the idea and you know, got involved. So I've experienced how he tries to help players. I think when it's a bit closer to home, like the club that he was looking after, I think that's probably slightly different.
Does that mean you have sympathy for the scenario Saracens are in, or do you think that the misunderstanding is in fact a sort of...
No, I do to an extent, because, you know, I've spoken to guys that, you know, players and coaches, and I know that they've got, you know, massive positive opinion towards Nigel Ray and the love of, that he has, not only for the club, but the players within it and what he would do to help them. But it comes a point where from Chris Ashton that he didn't know he was doing something wrong. Surely the guys running the club need to know exactly
what's right. Well, look, I think that the biggest... I've always said that I liked how Nigel tried to look after his players. I don't see there being a massive... If you listen to Ashy's story, he was 2 years into a four-year contract. He wanted to buy a house and settle down. He thought he was going to stay there for a long period. Entered into an agreement with him. They both went half and half on the deposit. Then he took on the mortgage and he had a share in there. But where it falls under... complete lack of ticking boxes. Why you wouldn't think there should be someone go, well, let's just check that let's run it through. Can we do that? Explain the full transaction and do everything. Because I think, as I said, I think Nigel has always had his players' best interests at heart. And the investigation said that they didn't purposely do it.
Mm.
So then where do you sit? Do you sit and push it under the carpet? I don't know. Well, obviously they're going to get relegated, but all you've done by relegating him is probably... really fire them up to win the Champions League, Champions Cup. Because they don't have, you know,
Championship comes next year.
Yes. Yeah, they don't have to. they don't have to play any of their big stars. It'll be like Leinster's players in Ireland when they're playing for Ireland.
Yeah,
he just doesn't need to play them for any matches. Like everyone's like, oh, it's a really bad week for them getting kicked when they got Harlequins. They're like, are they bothered?
Yeah,
they'll come back.
They look quite bothered. Jackson Ray looked fairly bothered.
Well,
I've never seen that before.
No. Yeah.
I've never seen a referee going, you're not the captain anymore.
Yeah, moving the captain.
Moving him away.
Yeah.
So, but I think they'd have wanted a response because of just the nature of the week.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think they'll just rest all their players. Come Leinster, they'll have 23 literally chomping at the bit players to go out there and try and do a job in. And if they do that, who's going to say that they wouldn't go all the way?
Quick couple of stories around rugby league. Israel Folau to Catalan Dragons. Any interest?
Done.
No. Warrington Wolves of Super League have stuck their hand up and said they'd be keen to bring in a relegated Saracens player to join Luther Burrell. Could you see that? That's just sort of...
No.
That's trying to tag onto a story.
That's just trying to...
Over here.
Media, hey!
Look at me.
How can we get something out of this?
I'd be impressed.
We discussed this. They won't lose that many players next year.
No, I agree.
But if you look at that report as well, and I'm obviously paraphrasing, if you look at the actual when they were over, 1 year it was all down to what PwC valued Maro Itoje's image rights at, and then the other one were the three houses that they helped.
Yeah.
So then everyone's obviously got a contract within that they're happy with. Are they then going to leave?
Keep on keeping
Don't
on.
Know. Well, we'll see.
Kyle,
I think there's still a fair bit to play out on that or not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although there's going to be bombs coming out left, right, and
centre. I also think it might filter beyond Sarries.
Well,
I think now that there's a very strong scent and there are a lot of people out hunting. I think there are a lot of people, yes.
Yeah.
Using their shredder at night kind of thing. Kyle Sinclair to Bristol.
Oh. I mean, look, I'm a back. I don't necessarily have many crushes over forwards, but he is my prop crush.
Yeah.
He's just class, isn't he?
He used to be a centre. So, I mean,
you could have done really well in a proper crush.
I was laughing to himself again. Brilliant for Bristol, tough for Quins. It's just the name of the game now. Quins have suffered in a way that Sarries.
Yeah, well, I was thinking about this today. I was almost like, if it is going to be that strict now with and hopefully it is. You've either got to make everyone's salary public so that everyone knows.
Mm.
I mean, I would, if it's for the good of the game, I wouldn't mind, and then you just know where the money's going.
But making them all public,
but not necessarily
going to drive it all up?
Us.
Oh, okay, but within the...
But to the eyes
quite,
that need
quite fun to have a look at that, though.
Yeah.
The eyes that need to be on. The problem is with it.
How are you on that?
This day and age, someone will leak it. But because I think agents have a huge role to play in this.
Yeah.
They're always basically greasing their own pocket. I don't think they're necessarily good for the game when there is a salary cap.
Yeah.
If there isn't a salary cap and it's free trade and you can go earn whatever you want, then fine, you can go earn your money. But some of the stuff you hear about football, and are they actually acting in the best interest of the player? Did Harlequins go, look, if they're offering you that, we just can't match it, and then you've got to go. It's your choice. I've always learned that. The one time I moved a club, I could have stayed for less money, because that's generally what you do. If you want more money, you move clubs.
Yeah.
Unless you've been an academy player for so long and you've just jumped up to England and then you're expecting something. You know, I think it's harsh on Harlequins, but at the end of the day, it's what it is, isn't it?
He's been very transparent around salary cap, Pat Lamb, but they're spending their pennies, aren't they?
Best money's
got Randrandra.
Big semi.
Yeah.
You got to keep that big in. He didn't laugh at that one.
Producer aside, no, he's still laughing at the earlier one.
His own one.
Horse. I mean, they are building a proper squad, aren't they? Yeah. Biggest attendance in the league.
It doesn't matter. You pay semi-obscene amount of money. Charles Pietau is still on
obscene amount of money.
But they're out of the salary cap, so they can pay them whatever you want. Then 500,000 is not that bad for an international world-class prop.
Hmm. Vern Cotter, new coach of Fiji.
You're on our mate.
Who's our mate? Oh, Ben Ryan.
Ben Ryan, yeah.
Probably. God, Jesus, yes.
You've got to get some advice.
His hair under Ben's waterfall.
Yeah. I mean, if you can actually influence those guys, that must be a dream job.
Yeah.
Like, look at the players that you can get your mitts on.
Yeah, but the opportunity to do stuff with them is really limited.
Yeah.
But unless there's a sort of play coming.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it fascinating with Ben Ryan and how he could just play mind games with them and just tease to get better things out of them. And but you're talking about making 10-15% difference without having to do anything.
Yeah.
Things we take for the norm.
Yeah.
So I think, I think.
Like Jim and Kidd.
Yeah.
It's a fascinating move because you imagine, particularly in the Premiership, there'd be a lot of people who'd have said, Vern, can we have a chat right now? There are a lot of clubs swimming around in that middle pond kind of thing.
Well, especially going where he's come from, where he's going from, Montpellier.
I mean, he must be on mega whack. I'm not quite sure that.
Probably just sees it as a sabbatical.
Do you think possibly? Fascinating.
The sun.
What they've paid him off is like a year in the sun.
Unbelievable. I'm going to follow that with great interest. Anything else that's caught your eye this week? You've brought lots of notes, both of you, which is a novelty for this show.
Yeah, about the Six Nations.
Should we move on to Six Nations?
Might as well.
Coming up, we're going to ask around the Six Nations whether Wales can repeat the feat. We're going to pick the can't miss games. Ask what's up with Finn Russell at the moment. He's currently in Dubai, I think. He's taken his punishment very well. we're going
to
reveal our Guinness Match Point Predictor game that we would love you to get involved in. We've got all sorts of competitions as well for you to join us on. And we've also got a live show to tell you about next week. So hopefully you'll dig in for some tickets on the Facebook page. Six Nations, favourite game you ever played in? Grand Slam, Dublin, 2003. You're quite long hair in those days.
It was a long time.
Flick. Quite a flop. Yeah. Yes, you did.
That was the end of it. That was the year I shaved it off.
Was it really?
Yeah. I lost the game of darts to Bolsh.
And that was the challenge.
Game of darts has led to your hair to disappear.
Well, are you ever tempted to grow it out? Are you ever tempted to grow it out like Bill Bailey? Back. Get that sort of, get a hell of a look up on the balcony.
Be great.
Giving it,
No.
No. Okay. Favourite Six Nations game you ever played in?
Well, that one would be up there. France... In 2000, we were the good picture of the back row down on fingers and thumbs, and we defended, and it was a proper war. And
yes, that's right. That was in Paris, wasn't it?
Yeah, in Paris.
Yes, that I like that
game.
BT Cellnet days, those were.
Yeah, they were.
Proper old school tracksuits.
Proper, big wind tunnel shirts as well. It was too much wind and you took off. Yeah,
every shirt.
That's why we lost in Scotland when the hurricane hit.
Yeah.
We were into it.
Yeah.
Bolsh, poor thing, it was literally...
Went blue at the back. Frostbite.
That's when Clive brought him on with 5 minutes ago, went, Bolsh, go wins this game. And he was like, it's pissing down rain. What am I supposed to do?
Not exactly my territory. Around about 2000 was when it just began to get going, because it was that win against Australia in 2000, wasn't it, when Lucas scored?
Yeah, well,
at the end in November,
the summer of 2000 as well.
That's right, South Africa,
second Test winning that was where I think the mentality changed.
Yeah.
That we could beat everyone, and as you say, that for the younger ones, we didn't lose then to Australia, New Zealand, or South Africa from that point till 2004.
Yeah, it's a hell of a run. Worst Six Nations game you ever played in?
Probably again in Paris, and everyone got ill. Remember, Dorse had to drop out of the game.
Was that 2002?
No, it was later. Robbo was in charge.
Genuine ill, or
yeah,
not.
They said that we'd been to eat at a fish restaurant. We hadn't. Dorse was ill. He dropped out, And I came down for breakfast and Dawes was sat there. And I'm like, oh, I feel really bloated. And Dawes is like, uh-oh. So then I was playing on the thing. My grandmother had died the day before.
Oh, bloody
hell. It was pretty bad anyway.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I was vomiting as I was playing.
Oh.
Like, Lol was like, mate, I've got you inside. I'm like, bloop. He's like,
not anymore, ever.
But if you're not. And we lost and it was just miserable. It was at a time where the England rugby was a bit miserable.
There were some utter turds at Murrayfield as well. There was sort of a 15-9 in the pissing rain and a 12-all in the pissing rain.
There were some bad.
Most of them were in the pissing rain.
But between 2004 and 2007, there was quite a few bad games.
Yeah. What were your earliest memories, Five Nations, Six Nations? Did you watch
Simon Gagan's lid?
Yeah, 93, 94.
Yeah. Was it Tony Stanger catching that ball? Is it bounced up ridiculously?
Yeah. This is my sweet spot. This
Thorburn knocking over that 50-yarder.
That was 87.
Who was that fullback? Was it Webb?
John Webb.
John Webb.
Yeah, the Bath doctor.
I've never seen a fullback that tall and thin.
Yeah. Lovely curves.
Actually,
as well.
It was quite the norm with that Hodgkinson.
Yes. Simon Hodgkinson. Yeah, yeah.
They literally did not have muscle. Yeah.
Yes.
Very clean. Anti-muscle.
They basically only had to have a good foot and be able to catch because they did nothing else.
Very clean shorts and shirts at the end of a game.
Yeah.
You could tell.
The other one was Nigel Heslop getting absolutely leveled.
That was World Cup. That was 91 World Cup.
Oh, was it?
Final, yeah.
I mean,
Blanco.
I've never seen an attack on a bloke who then just immediately fell asleep.
Yeah. Yeah, he took a proper hammering.
Yeah.
Best away stadium, which was your favourite country to play against, favourite trip?
Well, Six Nations.
Yeah.
Well, the best place on the planet to play rugby is Millennium Stadium.
Really? Principality is its name.
Friday night, roof shut.
Different level.
Doesn't get better than that.
Because?
Well, especially if it's England, Wales.
Yeah.
It's the only time I've been on a field where you can't actually hear any calls within 10 metres. But then your challenge is to silence that.
Yeah.
And it's a massive win for you if you do manage to do it. They're the sort of atmospheres you want to play in. It's where you find out whether you're made for it.
Did you ever find that kind of thing intimidating, overwhelming? Christ, what am I doing here? Or did you like, hello?
Yeah, I loved it. I quite like that side of it.
Did you know players who found it too much? Not in the moment necessarily, but afterwards.
There's probably some out there, but that's just around
not amongst your mob
mentality, isn't it?
Do you have an itch that you didn't play Six Nations? Is that an itch? We sort of discussed this last time.
Yeah.
Because of the romance and the history.
Did I tell you about Andrew Mower last time?
Was he the one that ate the pint glass?
Yeah.
He also ate a plate in my flat in Newcastle.
Super stuff.
He had a dinner. We had a lunch with Clive Woodward, apparently.
Right.
And at some dinner. And he came back and he said, oh, Clive said you're going to start in the Six Nations. And you don't want to ever jump the gun.
Yeah.
But clearly my brain jumped the gun.
Yeah. Out there from the hip, just levelling it.
And so I got overexcited and I didn't actually get picked. That was quite tough to take. But I always wish I'd played in one of those tournaments.
Yeah.
Because that's what you grow up watching as a kid.
Yeah.
It's quite nice to go along now and have a couple of beers still and become a fan.
Yes. Do you, having played at that level and obviously having been in the game for so many years, do you still get excited at this time of year? I mean, have you moved to fan or are you...
Yeah, I don't know about you. I didn't like looking at it for a bit when I was just out of the game, but now I've fanboy.
Really?
Yeah, well, you don't generally talk about prop crush, do you?
No, true. We will keep that in.
I went
self-respecting. I was at that prop crush.
I went to that Scotland game last time out. You know, had a few beers with a few mates, and it was brilliant.
Yeah.
You know, obviously the result wasn't great, but great games to go and watch.
Does the Six Nations get you through February, March, or have you kind of lived it?
I do enjoy it still. I do, and this year I'm quite excited about it because I think it's a really good competition this year. I think I'm excited for Ireland because obviously how. I know the Irish will be amazed by this, but how well Leinster are playing, the change of coaches, finally brought in some decent English coaches.
Someone get the net.
And then I think that team's going to be brilliant if they're allowed to play, you know, with what Stuart's doing at Leinster. I think that if they give them some freedom, they could really find some form that we've hoped that we'd see for the last couple of years since 2018. But I think... Wales as well, with how they're going to go under the new coaching structure. I think some of the young players that are in that team, they could really spice things up and change it around and play some really good rugby as well. England continuing from where they were in the World Cup. And then France, you know, we normally go in not knowing really what they're going to do, but at least this time they're going in with a group of young players that hopefully won't have any fear, they don't have any hang-ups. They don't want to be
Sean
poverty.
Edwards. They don't want to be in the background.
In his new French language.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
you know,
well,
français.
Well, the thing you would have said of French in the past is getting the hard work into them early.
Yeah.
You know you're going to get that from Sean. So then if you can instill that, you know, most of that team have won the under 20s championship for the last couple of years. So hopefully they'll come in with no fear and have a go at everyone.
It's not very often you go into a tournament and there's nearly 50 uncapped players across all the teams. Is that what it is? Really? Yeah, well, there's 20 nearly, and there's 19 in
19 in France.
That is, I mean, we are seeing that World Cup cycle becoming a bigger and bigger thing
and
now.
A crowd of the 9 and 10s that are playing for France, the oldest is 25, and all of the 10s are under 22. Something like that. It's ridiculous.
And Eddie's laid down the challenge to them. Can they handle it?
Yeah.
History tells you that if you go well in a World Cup, you always find it hard to back up in a Six Nations that comes around pretty quickly around the corner. And therefore, from an England perspective, do you have one or two concerns, or do you think that there's a sort of reset and they'll get a go?
I think there'll be a reset and they'll get go pretty quickly. Yeah. I think the only issue for me is I'm quite excited about what I see from that French team.
Yeah.
Any team that can leave out Raka from their squad and still function pretty well.
You know you need a last-minute drop goal or intercept to beat France in France. So.
Yes.
But then you win a Grand Slam if you do.
So. Yeah.
You know, I think...
The last few years ago.
I think England are in with a shout.
Of the title?
Yeah.
Really?
My worry for England is still the nines. I would like to see a young nine in there. I know, Alex Mitchell or whatever as a trainee, but Robson seems to be playing well again. Obviously, there was the guy down at Bristol who went on the tour. Yeah, I can understand
Harry Randall.
Harry Randall, yeah. I know that you could keep one of them in there, whether it's Young Z. I think actually Willie Hines is probably playing better than Young Z. Mm. But I just think that England need that speed of tempo when they play. And obviously, Young Z's been an unbelievable servant for the game, but when he's not on song, that ball is too slow for me, if I'm honest. So I'd like to see someone just lift that pace. I do worry that Billy's not there. Obviously, we've got to find a replacement for that. We saw for the years when he was injured what happened when we didn't have Billy there. So that's...
Do you think the Don Brandt thing... Do you think we will see Don Brandt at some point?
I would hope so, the way he's played.
I reckon he's just been given a bit of a wake-up.
Get fitter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I said that with absolutely no knowledge of his fitness things at all.
He's been outstanding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he was ridiculous at the weekend. That break he made, then the sort of...
But he's fallen into that, the worst Eddie bracket, to fall into where the media want you actually picked.
Yeah.
So you don't get picked.
It's the sort of thing, regardless of how fit you are, if people are still talking about what you did at uni and the fact that you lived your
can you leave my uni days
well? Behind. Yeah, exactly. He says he did it properly. Eddie will sort of punish you for that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Interesting. Do you think we'll see change throughout the Six Nations from England? Do you think they'll try things and use this as an opportunity to
tweak and tinker? I think it'll depend how it goes, really. Ultimately, they want to go and win the Grand Slam, so they have to go full strength for as much as they can. If they're playing with real, they're really on the front foot, then you can change one or two. I don't like seeing whole changes. I don't think it ever works for team...
Devalues the tournament
as well. Yeah, and team performance, when it just doesn't work. Like, even when they changed all those players for Japan in the autumn, and Japan ran as close.
It's like,
well, no one's benefited out of that. Of people who were sort of on the cusp who needed a good game, and then the young guys come in, no one benefits. So I prefer it if he did if there are people in there that he really wants to try, do it.
Tweaks.
Do it as tweaks rather than wholesale changes.
What are you most excited about with this England squad? What most interests you about what we might learn?
Ben Earl.
Really?
Not that I'm sort of...
Going for the forwards.
What's wrong with you?
Sorry. I think he's shown enough playing for Saracens that he probably will be an exciting addition to the England squad and the Six Nations. I think Ludlam as well. He'll get a shot and he'll be exciting to watch. I'd like to see Elliot Daly play on the left wing.
Okay.
And give Watson a shot at fullback.
Yeah, they were talking about this, weren't they? Yeah. I was listening to something. And they were saying JJ was, even though he didn't train over there, Jonathan Joseph, he was like practicing high balls. And they were like trying to suggest that he was going to play fullback. I was like, why would JJ play fullback?
Yeah.
I mean, Watson, I mean, who are you putting in your back three to where you need to put Jonathan Joseph for fullback? But that's the BBC podcast.
Right. Neither confirm nor deny.
Yeah. But it's also whether he gives like someone like Dingwall a go or Furbank or something like that, or are they just there for experience for now?
It's an obvious run against Italy, isn't there?
they've been.
Although that's final game, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, everyone would want to play in that, wouldn't they, if they're going to lift the trophy at the end of it, rather than doing a John Terry and running on with their kit.
Simon Amor as attack coach. So Scott Wiesmantle was beginning.
Yeah.
I think he did 18 months or so, but obviously had an impact. How does Amor lift it to another level?
In terms of intelligent players, he'll be up there with one of the most intelligent players I've ever played with.
Really? Where did you play with him?
London South East Schools.
Right, super stuff.
Back in the day.
Possibly.
I missed that one, sorry.
Austin started.
Probably got it on VHS somewhere.
As we tore holes in the north.
Right. Because I'm fascinated.
Probably
by that.
The smallest midfield ever.
Right.
Wilco, Simon Amor, and myself.
Right.
We weren't exactly gifted with height.
Packed the punch?
Probably.
Got the job done.
Yeah, got the job done. He's a brilliant player, though. Yeah. He played Premiership for Wasps, didn't he? And
where else was Gloucester.
It? Gloucester.
Gloucester.
But to play that small in the Premiership, you've got to be sharp mentally, I think, and understand the game. And I remember his dad from years gone back, and he loved the game as well. So I think Simon's always been one of those players that was going to move into coaching. It's just great to see him get a shot.
Yeah.
He's obviously still going to do the Olympics as well, isn't he, I think?
Is that right?
I think so.
He's doing both. You're going to have to set the alarm clock early and produce the goods, because there are no prisoners.
I think he'll go well. I think he's through his seven stuff. He does study the game, and I think he'll want to make an impression. He works hard, obviously, off his sevens background and how he was as a player. He's always worked hard. As you said, because he was probably smaller, he always felt he had to.
Yeah.
So he'll push the players for sure, and I think that could be good for them, just trying to get that little bit extra out of them.
Do you think anything other than England Grand Slam is a disappointment, given how well they played at times during that World Cup? I know the final obviously ran away. What represents a good 2 months for England?
I don't think it necessarily has to be a Grand Slam. I think a lot of fans will be going, oh, we need to win this whole thing. But actually, I think it's more important that A, they give some experience to some young players.
So this is almost a reset for 4 years' time rather than push on from...
Yeah, but I do think they're capable of winning the tournament. Ireland, I think, look pretty good, even though...
So it's Wales and Ireland at home.
Used to be our hardest year because we had France away, and then for the last few years, this has been our best chance of winning it because we've had Wales and Ireland at home. But, obviously, we lost to Scotland last time we were up there. As Doddy Weir reminded me in the week. So he asked me if I wanted to... Yeah, I had dinner with Doddy on last Tuesday and he asked me if I wanted to bring the Calcutta Cup down. I was like, you might as well, because it's going to stay here. So I still think this is our best year to do it, but it's going to be interesting to see what France do. I think Scotland at the moment need to come out and show a lot.
Quite a lot of pressure around
This time they've always sort of walked with they could show up, they couldn't, and then obviously with the World Cup and the disappointment of the World Cup. There's definitely a lot of pressure there.
Yeah.
I think this week's compounded the World Cup, isn't it?
For Scotland?
Made it worse.
Yeah. The Finn Russellans?
Yeah. I don't understand it. Like, if you're going to a Six Nations tournament, you don't need to have that beer for that long, which clearly it was quite a long time.
Yeah. Do we actually know any detail, or is it all just speculation and...
Well, only what's been said.
Too many ales and no training on Monday.
Yeah, I'm not training. Disappeared back to France, play for Racing.
Well, he was sent back, though. He didn't...
Well, yeah, but, again, disappeared back there.
Right.
He was given the option, apparently, to go and train and went...
Wow.
Apparently.
Gosh. Interesting. Apparently the door's been left open for...
It's whether it has a hangover from Twickenham last... from Twickenham last year when they...
Yeah, there's been a lot of rugby since then.
Yeah, but, if he still doesn't feel that he's getting to express himself in that certain way, is there a hangover in that way? Because then obviously the World Cup didn't exactly go the way wanted, did it? So
somebody said to me this week they sued a typhoon, which is the SIU sued a typhoon. doesn't really work.
Yeah.
We'll come back to Scotland. Wales. I mean, there's so many fascinating subplots, but Wayne Pivac, new head coach, lot of youngsters, Rhys Sammet. Are Wales dark horses? Are they front runners? Are they let's just see how it goes kind of things?
I think they've got a really good chance in terms of they've got three. We get to now really see what this coaching group will bring. Are they going to bring that sort of Scarlet's high
attack.
Tempo, expansive rugby, which you hope they do with the young players that they've got within that squad? You would hope they do. They've got freedom to do what they're going to do around the midfield. Obviously, they've got speed all over the backs. They've got talent all over the backs, and then they've got that sort of some new forwards, but a core of back row, second row that they can rely on. So I actually think that they're going to be quite hard to beat. Yeah. But this is why I'm quite excited about it, because this, I think this could be the best year of actual matches where, you know,
where you don't necessarily.
Yeah, you don't.
Do you think we're in for quite a high quality of rugby?
Yeah, I also think because of all these young players that are coming through, you lose the stigma of rugby being played in February, March. It's going to be crap. It's going to be attritional. It's going to be this.
Because they'll give it a crack.
Because they'll just give it a crack. I mean, that's what generally rugby at club level is now. I know that it's different between international and club.
Well, Ireland are talking about changing the way they play, aren't they? Mm. Wales are, Scotland have.
Yeah.
England are talking about still being brutal. But I think there's enough players, as you say. France will have a... They're not going to try and just knock you over, are they?
Unsafe bet is that France will have the biggest amount of offloads, for sure, at that.
Yes, from everywhere. No Jonathan Davis, no Rhys Patchell, no Gareth Anscombe, which is quite a lot of firepower to be missing behind the pack.
I'd love to see Nick Tompkins get shot though.
Yeah, that's
he's
what
a
I'm
really,
saying.
Really good player.
There's good options there.
Yeah.
So if they put Tompkins in there off Hadley Parks,
is Tompkins ready? Do you think? For
I think so.
Yeah.
You know, I think he plays brilliantly for Saracens. Again, he's an intelligent player, but I wouldn't. People are talking about moving George North in from the wing. I just wouldn't put him at 13.
No, because he's just killing a winger. Yeah. He ain't ever getting it.
No.
Two wingers would have. Remembered.
I was the winger.
Well, yeah, you were all over the place.
Hasn't Benny Cohen got the second most tries for us?
Yeah, that was Greenwood on the miss.
No, Greenwood was always tugging Andrew's jumper when he knew he could score.
Very true. What about the pressure on someone like Wayne Pivac? I mean, you interestingly, Sy's picked out a really interesting thing just about how Gatland, Hansen, Henry, and many before them have just spoken about the Goldfish Bowl and the pressure that comes with being Wales head coach. I mean, he's a very his next copper.
I think he's all right.
He's pretty well, worldly
so
adjusted.
Boring in the World Cup that he can't do any worse than that. Can
good.
He?
Be nice if you'd go on the fence occasionally. Can't,
he that can't, was the he worst can't, game I've ever watched.
Can't produce I left a half as bad time, a game actually. As that semi-final. So he's on a pretty even keel for me.
Is it going to be a sort of an evolution of what Wales have been doing? So I mean, would you expect incremental changes based on what they were doing at the World Cup, or do you think he's ripped up the playbook and said, right, we're going to readjust it, almost going to start again kind of thing?
Rugby's pretty simple. You're going to start off a good set piece and then you've got to then allow what he's got to do with how he's going to pick the team is then dictate on how he's going to play. If he's going to, you know, most games now are going to play with dummy runners out the front and your speed out the back and change things around like that. And it's just how he's then going to play with the forwards. Is he going to go one out all the time, or is he going to push them a little bit wider and allow them to be the decoy runners and allow the backs to be outside of that? And that's what I hope, is just he gets away from those one-out runners. That's fine when you get into the 22 and you're going for a try 5 yards out.
Percentage rugby.
But then it's quite nice to have your threats a little bit open and use the whole field.
There's a really interesting quote from Alan Jones, who said very honestly that when you get a new coach in, some players look for the shadows and don't want the ball to come their way. Oh, that's fascinating.
Yeah, I would never have said that. I think it's one opportunity where you're like, I have to put my hand up.
Yeah. Monitor in the front row club might have burrowed deeper into the rucks and the malls. Oh. Have you ever played with anyone like that? Julian White wasn't a big one for catch and pass and roll balls.
Mickey Ward wasn't.
Yeah. Mickey Ward, no?
He loved hitting a ruck.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Do what you do, just don't try and do it better.
And hit it harder.
Hit it harder.
What do you think the expectations are on Wales then?
I think from in Wales, that they'll be massive. You know, I think, obviously, they've got injuries to Jonathan Davis. I think it's really important. Yeah. But
Such a good player.
Yeah, he's brilliant. But they've still got some fantastic players at their disposal.
Yeah.
And they'll want to turn England over. They'll want to start well against... they got Italy up first, haven't they?
Yeah,
I think.
Italy first. Yeah, they're at off, home. They're off Italy running. First at home.
Yeah.
That's 50. Because Italy haven't even got a full-time coaching staff. I mean, they haven't changed anything from the World Cup squad, have they? I haven't even written that.
I mean, Sergio's even having a sort of a farewell tour.
dipping in a different.
Yeah, I think I'll play that one and that one. Thank you. So high expectations on England and Wales. Ireland, another new head coach in Andy Farrell.
I think they look really good.
Thoughts? Do you?
They've always named their team. And yeah. I think I saw Caelan Doris a couple of years ago in the under-20s. And in terms of intelligent footballers, he's got an ability to offload, make line breaks, which is probably something if you add in to Stander, who's just horrible to play against, isn't he? And then Van der Fleer, who's just rapid and does all the graft. Combine that with all of the guys up front that they've got, and you know, Furlong, Healy, they're still there, Ryan and Henderson.
Yeah.
And then actually with Mike Catt as their backs coach, they've got an ability to try and, you know, really open the game up.
Yeah.
Interesting first question is who you pick at nine.
Cooney.
Without doubt you should pick Cooney, but are they?
But I wonder whether they've made that change in the back row and then think, right, we need to keep some stability right in behind him.
But if you're going to make a change, make a change.
Yeah.
You got nothing to lose. You had the most disastrous World Cup ever.
Yeah.
Why don't you just get on with it and bring in the new era?
A lot of rely on credit. There's a bit of credit in the bank, maybe.
But. You can't. I think as a coaching group, if you're stepping in, you don't get credit. You've got to earn it back. And that goes straight on performances that you
can. Yeah, but he's moving through rather than coming fresh.
Yeah, that's true. But then from Catty's point of view.
Still speak to Mike. Do you have a little text exchange?
Yeah.
How did he find the Italy experience?
All right. Yeah, I mean,
I got the sense there was quite a lot of frustration from...
He moved out there and then family didn't really enjoy it out there, so he had to move back and then he was travelling. So I think it got frustrating as well with obviously you're not fully hands-on all the time and it's quite hard to try and bring these young players through there and they're not actually getting the time that they need or whatever.
What's he making of Ireland?
I haven't actually... I spoke to him since he's been in Ireland.
Oh, really? What impact do you think he'll have with Ireland?
Well, the thing is with Catty is he wants to play freedom. He wants to give people... find their skill sets and basically play to a way that suits the players around him. And I think with the likes of Sexton on form, Stockdale, Ringrose, you can put Earls, Chris Farrell, whatever you want to do with it. There are talented players there, which we've always said. We said they always played a rubbish way of playing. I think it's going to be great for Ireland. I actually think they're going to be very hard to beat.
Really?
And
do you expect the handbrake to come off a bit?
Yeah, I would hope so. I'd be really disappointed if it doesn't. I think, you know, with the way Leinster are playing, I think it's sort of an open book to sort of try a little bit more. Even Ulster and how they've played.
Mm.
You know, might have a bit less of that wraparound.
Yeah.
less of the predict- work, doesn't yeah. it? You know, if it ain't
just
broke.
A few other options.
So where are we seeing? I mean, we're just basically saying everyone is looking shit hot at the moment.
Apart from Italy.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, I'm talking about Wales, England, Ireland.
I think Ireland and England are the top two for me, and then Wales and France aren't too far behind.
Yeah,
and I think Scotland sit alone, and then just down this bit of the back.
And the Italians
sit down there somewhere.
Forza,
but the problem is Scotland could get right on the day and mess someone else's Six Nations up. But I don't think they're going to have the consistency.
Okay. You are listening and watching House of Rugby, brought to you by Joe, together with our good friends at Guinness, with me, Alex Payne, alongside Mike Tindall and Tom May. Still to come, we're going to look at the three other teams. We'll preview the Women's Six Nations with one of the stars, the Red Roses, as well. But first, on a very emotional edition of TKO this week, the Hull boxer, Tommy Coyle, who won an IBF lightweight title and a Commonwealth Games gold, has announced his retirement from the sport that he has loved since he was a young boy. Have a listen to this.
What a phenomenal career. Have I achieved more than I thought I would? Yeah. Have I exceeded my potential? Absolutely. You know, I never in my wildest dreams thought I'd end up fighting at Madison Square Garden. So I look over my shoulder and I'm content, but I always said I wanted to get out of the game with all my faculties intact and I'm going to stick to my promise and that's what I'm going to do. I don't want to retire, do you know what I mean? I love fighting, I love everything about it. I love the camp, I love being in camp with the lads. I love the physicality of having getting in there and having it. I love it. But, sadly, you know what I mean? Fuck, you know. I've been in some holes over the last 6 months. Bad holes, crying all the time. It's been my best mate for 25 years, this game. And it's over, isn't it? Fucking ass, I don't want to do this, man.
Don't worry,
Sam.
Just have a minute, mate.
There's
no rush.
Oh, it's just... Fuck, I'm crying. I was almost down, isn't
it? Don't worry about it, man.
So that was obviously a highly emotional clip from a very emotional pod, actually. Well worth watching if you're a boxing fan. good luck to Tommy. Increasingly, we are seeing it's hard to say goodbye to a sport that you invest your life in, aren't we? Did you ever shed a tear?
I didn't want to, but as soon as I knew it was happening, I couldn't stop. I cried when I left Newcastle. When I got to the point where I was going to retire, had family there and stuff, and you try and hold it. I was crying for the last 10 minutes of the game against Saracens.
You're kidding me?
No. I knew I could. It was like a time, a sand time. I could just feel it going, right, this is now just drifting away. I think some players were looking at me and going, what the hell is wrong with you, man?
Something into the shirt.
Something like Bobby Boucher.
Yeah.
Water sucks.
Yeah.
You're reading the wrong water.
Yeah, I was crying for the last 10 minutes of the game.
Did you blub? I can't.
No.
You're not really a blubber.
No.
Thanks a lot. Goodbye. I've got other things to do. Cheers. On the payroll.
But I think from Tommy's point of view, it's for medical grounds, isn't it? I think they've told him he's got to stop. Yeah. I think when it's taken away from you,
it's
hard enough when you decide on your own, I think, but when it's taken away from you.
I was bloody irritated. I didn't get Hask to cry in his. He got quite wobbly and watery-eyed, but he didn't blub, which is a shame. Anyway, that was Tommy Coyle. Good luck to Tommy announcing his retirement on TKO with Chris Lloyd and Carl Frampton. Don't forget our Facebook group. Apparently we have 4,000 new joinees last week. Welcome along if you're part of that. And that is where you can get all the details of our next live show, which is going to be next Wednesday in London at Flatiron Square. We'd love to see you there. Tickets are available. Go to Facebook and type in House of Rugby. Si has put in big, bold letters, we've done those who can win it. Let's do those who can't. Italy haven't won a game in the Six Nations since 2015. I mean, time to bring in a different team? Make the bottom end of the tournament more competitive, he's asked. Are we getting there?
I generally don't have an issue if they did something around that.
Right.
I think, well, obviously it's Italy's fault, but if their domestic game is not helping them to make that jump, then I think there has to be another team that has the ability to come up, whether it be Georgia or Uruguay or whoever it is.
Another.
But I think.
Could be Uruguayan, could you?
Well, I don't know.
Spain. Fiji. Portugal. What?
Well, no, in terms of some good away trips to Spain.
Yeah. Well, I think everyone knows it'd probably be Georgia that came up.
Yeah. Romania. It'd be great to see
Romania.
Them firing some
I think it would be worthwhile fully exploring that, and whether. I don't understand what's the problem with promotion relegation in terms of that. They play, you know, if you finish bottom, you have a one match playoff. Well, what's wrong with that?
But can you imagine England going to Turkey, Romania? That's actually quite good.
But is it? Yeah. Is it not? Is it not?
Do you know? I wonder if this size thing will open people's eyes to
different.
Rugby is amazing when you're winning European Cups, but actually, rugby is about getting out and meeting people and seeing things.
Is that not the whole point of what we want to try and do?
I wonder if Sarries will be the key that unlocks promotion and relegation.
In the early days of the European Cup, you used to end up in some amazingly places across Europe.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
What was the one in Russia? Yenisei. TSM and Connacht.
Never
2.5 weeks to get there and couldn't get back.
Yeah. Some of the French.
Get stuck there for 2.5 weeks.
You'll get stuck there 2.5 weeks.
Frozen.
Yeah. Sergio. Just farewell, Sergio.
Play what you want.
How good would Sergio have been if he had been in
a... Here's a controversial one. Do we think that's good for Italy?
Wow.
Him sort of... I understand how amazing he has been for Italian rugby, but how is it helping them move on? And I love Sergio.
Well, I don't think it is, but
I love Sergio as well, but I don't think it's helpful Italy in any way, shape or form, just having...
But maybe it gets headlines and front pages, and Italian rugby needs some good stories around it. I'm literally playing devil's advocate.
That's quite a good point.
Well, yeah.
Thanks. There's not many for that.
Or it just highlights the 50-point loss.
Yes, true. If he'd play for any one of the other nations, where would he rank in? Was he that good? Or was he really good in a very average team?
Well, he was obviously very good in a very average team.
Yeah.
But I think if you put him in the right environment, or the team that played in the right way, that sort of complemented the way that he played, he could have been unbelievable.
You still have to have the skills. You still have to be... most of the teams he's playing against when he's playing amazing is a team that's way better than his team.
Yeah.
So you don't make line breaks. You don't make the offload that he's made, created what he's created, done what he's done. You know, he's definitely... I think in his pomp, I think, it'd be a struggle if he didn't get in any team in the world.
Really?
He was exceptional.
Yeah.
His skill set was just phenomenal.
He's tormented England a couple of times as well, hasn't he?
Yeah. Hmm.
Good on him. I think it's right he gets a farewell. He didn't get his...
He just, I don't know about two.
Arrivederci.
Six Nations tour. Yeah.
No one will ever beat the farewell tour of Brian O'Driscoll, who had his last game for Leinster, his last away game for Leinster, his last home game for Leinster, last away game for Ireland. I mean, that went on and on and on. And rightly so. But yeah,
I'll let him get away with it.
Yeah, I think Parisse deserves his farewell. Franco Smith, I mean, what is it going to take for Italian rugby to... Here's a question. You've got 30 seconds. What is it going to take for Italy to get better?
Discover some more players with grandmas. Like, you know, like discovering someone like Pelledri,
yeah,
who has been brilliant over here, or Callum Brayley. That, yeah. You know, that they need to try and develop that network. Obviously, they want to develop their homegrown talent and get those youngsters coming through, but that takes years.
They need to push their youngsters out to clubs, and like, even if... I don't, it won't be possible, but even if the home nation could subsidise them and send them on trials with the, just to get them training with world-class players, or, as you said, when you get someone like Jake and Callum Brayley, then you need more of those players, but how do you do that unless you can sort of send them out? I think, I don't know whether they've got a policy that they all have to stay at home.
I don't actually know. I don't know whether they have to, no, because, I mean...
But they need to get people, like, more exposure and get them out there, and I don't know how they do that. I don't know what I don't know the ins and outs of what their player pool looks like, but the more exposure they can get to rugby that's not generally just in those... in their home clubs, it would, yeah, would benefit them massively.
Stat, taken from Twitter, so take it with a very large slab of salt. Apparently, attendances in the Italian clubs in the Pro 14 are up 34%.
Good stat.
That is a good stat.
Can someone give us a stat on how long that will take to then transfer to the players that are coming through?
18 years. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
I'm really looking forward to the Six Nations.
Do you think we'll still be here?
2038.
Do you think we'll still be here in 2038?
Welcome to Joe. We told you.
Catheter fitting.
18 years ago.
And a pacemaker and a hearing aid. Maybe by then your nose will be cleared. You'll have... Yeah. Clean pipes. Any more on Italy, or are they just ticking along?
Yeah, I
mean, getting in the way.
It's just
where they can.
All they can do is just try and play as an expansive game. I don't think them trying to drag people down and playing tight. But I think they need to try and make it fun to play for Italy. I know it's
That comes with
at least England fans have got it. Going out there last, it might be quite warm. Good weekend.
Yeah. Right? If Italy are going to beat anyone, who are they going to beat?
Scotland.
Good.
Well, if you think about it, last year they scored more tries. I love this stat. They scored more tries than Ireland, didn't they? And Wales. No, it's more tries than Wales last year. They scored 11, didn't they?
Right.
So if they can go out there and still...
They don't mind a fixture against France, actually, do they?
No. Yeah. Vive la France. There's a part of me, the romantic part of me, that would love France to get the wind in their hair and the tricolours flowing.
You just want to see that quarter-final game against Wales without an elbow, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where they're unplayable.
Yeah.
Just lines, switches where no one actually thinks to switch. And
do you know, it would also be lovely to see France put 40 minutes together, the first 40 together, which is really good, and then a second 40 where they don't just self-combust, yeah, throw it away, do everything they can to it. Just put the foot on the ball and hold it with a 20-point lead. Just hold that lead to the end.
I don't think anyone could believe quite what they were witnessing, could they, in that stadium?
Do we think that...
Well, then that's been the case, hasn't it, for the last two openers?
Yeah,
outplayed Ireland
and Wales.
Miraculous drop goal, and then Wales completely dead and buried.
What, 40-yard left-handed miss pass?
Two intercepts or whatever it was. And
I'm going to ask it, and we do it every single time. I think I've done it 18 times. Do we think this could be the year for France?
I think
good. We're back on the bandwagon.
Good.
I think it's a year too early, but I think it'll be a good. It's a good acid test for those young players. And if they get it right...
Do you know the other thing? Perhaps they could just calm down a little bit with their selection. They get through 78 players in five games.
Well, yeah.
Just give everyone a chance to bed in a bit.
I generally do think them not having those older players who now every French player turns into a statesman and politician around what should be done. And and without that, and just let the young guys just go and play.
Combine those young guys with Vakatawa. I mean, unbelievable.
There is one quite nice French touch, which is they've selected Charles Olivier as captain, who has never started in the Six Nations before. Sort of, we must play one wild card. We are French. You're our captain. It's just amazing, isn't it? Do you think that they might fire some serious shots?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Scotland, a tough task for Gregor. It's seemingly getting even tougher. Yeah. And we sort of touched on it earlier. What are the expectations on Scotland?
Well, the unfortunate thing is that everyone knows that he needs Ben Russell. So he's in a really weak spot in terms of negotiating. Yeah. I just don't think that consistency is going to be there still. I think they're going to blow hot and cold, unfortunately.
Okay. Hoggy as captain?
Oh, I'm happy for Hoggy. I think, you know, the pressure he always feels under to perform and how sometimes
is this two guys they missed in the World Cup, Hamish Watson, who went home.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's outstanding for them.
Yeah.
And also they never picked Roy Hutchinson. Yes. Should have picked him for the World Cup.
Yeah.
And at least now he's in the squad. He's brilliant.
Yep. Bolter, ready for that level?
Yeah, and, yeah, I think so.
That's brilliant. Got to go to Dublin first up. They've won once since 2010. And then they've got the Calcutta Cup.
Hmm. They had a chance last time they were there, though, didn't they? Got an intercept or whatever when they...
Yes, they threw an intercept. I think it was Jacob Stockdale.
Yeah. Well, that was the year that I think he scored 5 tries and he intercepted 4 of them.
Yeah.
Great rugby, Alan.
So we think Scotland can do damage, but not necessarily sustain any
I think they could spoil
a party or two.
Someone's party, but I just don't think they'll have...
Calcutta Cup, do you think that is...
They always know they'd play better when in Calcutta Caps, Scotland in general. So,
yeah. And we were talking about some of your turds that you played up in the Calcutta Cup. You know,
glad you finished that.
Shall I rephrase that? We're talking about some of the awful games you played, but funny enough, in that Calcutta Cup, I think an England 9-6 would just be very nice, given what's happened in the last 2 games against Scotland.
Yeah.
In the driving rain, the winner of the Six Nations is going to be the Guinness Six Nations is going to be.
Say England.
Right. English arrogance reigns supreme,
yeah, of course,
says the Western Mail.
I think because England have Ireland and Wales at home that they will win it.
Okay. Grand Slam or no Grand Slam?
I don't think there'll be a Grand Slam.
Okay, good stuff. Let's turn it on to the Women's Six Nations, which kicks off on Sunday, and we're going to do so in the company of the Harlequins and England winger Jess Breach, who I think has the finest try-scoring ratio in Test rugby.
Not bad, is
it? Watch this. Let's do a cut! Welcome back.
Seamless.
Eyes wide awake. You're back in the room, as is Jess Breach. Very nice to have you with us.
Hello.
How are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you.
What's been keeping you busy?
Six Nations prep, university.
Yeah.
I actually had quite a long Christmas break, but then obviously we played big game for Quinns in that break. But yeah, it was nice to go home to my mum and dad.
And I asked you just while we were welcoming you in whether you'd ever listened to this before, and you said you've just listened to one episode on the way into uni, at which point all 3 of us have felt our groaning hips and backs giving out, which is a little unfortunate. What are you currently doing? Where are you studying? What's the degree?
St Mary's in Twickenham, and I'm studying sports communication and marketing.
And how's that going?
Yeah, it's good. It's fun. I'm not there actually as much as probably I would want to be, but it's nice. I think it's nice to go into something that potentially I could go into after uni and have a actual insight at the moment going to my lectures and to my friends and being like, oh, this is what it's like actually being part of some companies, which is quite nice.
And what do your friends and the people that you're studying with make of the fact that they are with an international sporting superstar in the union and, you know, studying, etc.?
Well,
do you get great kudos for that, or are they...
Yeah, well, I left them today and I was like, oh, bye, see you next week. And they were like, oh, you're not coming on Thursday? I was like, no, I'm going to France. And they were like, oh... Like, on holiday? And I was like, no, definitely not on holiday.
Not on holiday. Are you not wearing your England stash to every single opportunity?
No, definitely not.
Right.
That's called something, isn't it?
Yeah. Under the radar, like that.
Everyone takes the piss out of you if you wear your kit.
You're very
give
true.
It away. So
except for Hask, who is...
It's changed, isn't it?
It has.
It used to be, get your stash out.
You weren't even a student as you were wearing your English stash around Bath University, I would imagine.
I was one of those that didn't like wearing my stash.
No, it's horrible. People take the piss, literally.
Right.
They'll be like, oh, do you play for England? And you're like, well, you know the answer, so why are you saying it?
Right.
Worst one for that? Ollie Phillips.
Sash.
Still takes an England bag. Like that.
Yeah.
Ollie, grow up.
He actually came to the pod with his... Because he's now doing Wales Sevens. He came with his Welsh Sevens coat. Stop. Yeah, he did. No, he did. When he came the other day, he was wearing his Wales Sevens coat.
I've got a great story about Chris Chesney. So, you know when you get given a team blazer or whatever?
Yeah.
He left Toulon years ago. And apparently Ches turned up 4 years down the line in the middle of corporate with his Toulon blazer on. Mate, let it go.
Love that. No, that's right. Actually, the Toulon blazers were very small. They used to have the red trim.
Sorry,
red
trimming. Very nice.
Good. Welcome to our Six Nations preview. This is that show.
It's about as rugby as we get.
Can I ask you, so I remember your debut, which I think was on Sky, 6 tries, and everyone went, wow, welcome to the game. And then your second game, you scored 5 tries. So 11 tries in your first 2 games. What are we currently sitting on? She's trying to think.
I think it is like maybe 20 in 7. Yeah, maybe.
I mean, you want to try bonus?
That is
outrageous. Yeah. I mean, I don't think that is that the greatest strike rate in international.
I'm happy to be told it is.
I'm going to say that it is. Why are you ripping it up quite so emphatically?
I don't know. I think for my debut, it just like came quite naturally. And I think obviously having Nolly behind me at fullback helped a lot.
She's quite noisy, isn't she?
Yeah, very.
Yeah. Helps you do. I think she's coming next week, actually, to our pod. So, yes, she'll certainly be noisy at that. So she was obviously very helpful.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think I play my best when I'm enjoying it and when I'm having fun. And definitely those two, my first two caps were very enjoyable.
A lot of
very
fun.
Enjoyable,
yes. This is a stupid question. From the athletics background, are you generally, would you say you're away quicker than most opposite numbers?
It looked it.
Yeah.
Flames.
Yeah, I think so. I think that I have like my raw speed from athletics, and I've never wanted to let that go. So, like having open space in front of me, I'm just going to go and.
Were you a hurdler?
Yeah, hurdler.
What level did you get to in that? How did you then find your way into rugby?
I got to English schools.
Did you?
Yeah, but I played rugby since I was like 6.
Okay.
But I just was quite sporty. I actually didn't really like school. I actually hated it, and I don't really know why I'm at uni, but got to do something else.
Yeah. What were you like at school? Were you badly behaved or just are you allowed
I think,
to say?
Yeah, no, I think I just got easily swayed. I went to an all-girls school.
Right.
And I would not be afraid to speak my mind.
Okay.
So my friends would be like, oh, say this. So I'd say it, and then I would end up standing outside, so probably didn't.
I need to introduce you to my daughter.
Yeah.
So she's heading that way.
Right. Yeah. One or two problems in that department.
Work. Freedom of speech. You
free,
like.
Yeah. Free spirit. At what point who was the first person to say, right, concentrate, stop answering back, and actually you can be quite good at either hurdling or rugby? Did you have like an inspirational coach or teacher who said, right?
Not really. Like one of my PE teachers was Emma Wiggs, and she's a Paralympian.
Yeah.
Now she went to the Paralympic Games and did kneeling volleyball, but now she's a canoeist.
Okay.
So I guess that was quite a bit of like inspiration, knowing that, you know, she was in a wheelchair and she was aspiring to be Paralympian. But I think I just grew up and actually realised that it's actually not cool to stand outside the class and to be told off. But you think when you're younger, you think that's like the cool thing to do.
Yeah.
To be like, oh yeah, I missed the lesson. When actually then you have to catch up and do the homework. So it's actually really not that cool.
I remember Nolly saying, I can't remember who it was, but she said, she's obviously had a glorious career, but she said when she was getting to the end, she couldn't believe how fearless the young people coming into the squad were. You know, I imagine when you went into the England squad, I think we've spoken about this, walking into a room with Johnson, Hill, Back, Delalio, Leonard, etc., you probably were quite comfortable with it, but there were one or two who were like, whoa. But apparently when the younger generation walk into the singer camp now, they're just like, yeah, great, cool, this is how it goes.
I think when I came in, there was like 5 or 6 of us and we'd all grown up together.
Yeah.
So I think it was quite nice for us to do it and we were comfortable with each other.
Yeah.
And we'd played some premiership, like in our clubs, there was some England players. But you still have those moments where you're like, I'm playing with Emily Scarrett, and like I watched at the 2010 World Cup, so that is crazy. But I think it's not easier, but if you're confident, they're gonna actually allow you to like have conversations with them, and just if you put yourself out there, they're gonna be like, oh, actually, they're trying.
If I could be bold, you are probably part of the second wave that is carrying women's sport through at the moment. And, you know, Emily and Maggie, Katie Daly McLean, etc., were part of the initial real breakthrough when, and you mentioned that 2010 World Cup, actually, it's sort of everyone bought into
it. Yeah, definitely.
Have you noticed a change in perception of women's sport? I mean, do you find it easier now? Do you find it more kind of a greater awareness around it?
I think so, but I still think that loads more can be done. I think football is definitely taking it in the right direction. Like they sold out Wembley, which is crazy. And obviously there's netball more on Sky and stuff. But I think it needs to be more accessible to people, and I think people need to like know about it more. And like at the men's games, I still think there's more that they could do to promote our games. Like I think when we play at the Stoop, they say it maybe like once that we're playing after the men, and it's like, well, it should be said like constantly that stay, like the women are playing, like it's going to be a really good game. And I think if people like rugby, they like rugby, and I think they need to get out of their head that it's women that are playing. Yeah. Surely you just like the sport, not the gender.
Yeah.
I think it's been great. It's been moved around the country.
Yeah.
So you go down to Exeter and they sell it out. They go to Doncaster and they sell it out.
Yeah.
And actually, that's how you start to to grow the game and, you know, move it around the place. I think it's been brilliant seeing that.
And the counties do it, like, so Exeter as a city, they've done so much to promote women's rugby, and so have Doncaster. And I think that's why we then go back to those places, because we know that we can sell them out and we're going to get a really good audience and a really good backing.
Yeah.
And it's nice to play at those places where you feel like wanted. And at Exeter, definitely, like, you feel really wanted to have it sold out. Like, it's amazing.
Do you feel comfortable with the role model status and the trailblazer and, I suppose, the responsibility that comes with helping the sport break through?
I think so, but I think as a younger female within the sport, I think it's hard because I still look up at like Katie Dane McLean and Emily Scarrett. But yeah, it's nice to know that like 8 to 12, like 15-year-olds are looking at you being like, oh, that's what I want to do. And I think it's so nice now they can be like, I want to be a professional rugby player and it not be a no, like within their class. And their PE teacher's like, oh, that's never going to happen, when actually it can happen and it's just like the men.
Yeah.
It's the hardest thing is getting it out there, isn't it? Whether it be on TV or whatever. And that's the difficulty, is when I was saying, well, where are you playing? But at least the French have stacked it up. So you'll be watching one channel, you can watch three games back to back, and then that's helping PR. I mean, I know that they're doing a golf tournament next year where they're all men and women shoot for an equal purse. So it's genuine. And I was like, well, that's the best way of getting people to see it, because something like golf, but it's harder to do with rugby. But you want to make sure that people, and I agree, when there is a game after a men's game, it's incentivising them to stay in their seats and actually buy into it and watch.
Yeah,
like people walk past us, like when we play at the Stoop, for instance, and we're walking in, people walk past us and they go, good luck. And I'm like, why aren't you staying? Like, even if it's for like 20 minutes, you're going to get the gist of the game and you're going to actually enjoy it. And then you'd probably end up staying for the 480, but you're walking past me and saying good luck.
That's almost even ruder.
Yeah.
I know you're playing, but I'm still going.
And it's like, go on, girls. And I'm like, where are you going? It's a Saturday night. I understand, fine, it's late, cold, but still, just, it does baffle me. Sometimes I do have to bite my tongue and I'm like, don't say anything.
Do you ever just say?
Shauna Brown does.
Really?
And she just looks at them and she's like, well, why aren't you staying?
Right.
And they probably
take a seat. Very good idea. Why didn't I think of that myself? Yeah.
Where do you think I was going?
No, they just walk faster. They're like, oh, God.
What's life at Quinn's like? Because actually, they as a club, they seem to be right on the on the edge of trying things. And I know David Ellis, who was the previous chief exec, was hugely into the women's side of the club.
He was really behind us. And they are, as a club, I think, well, they are definitely behind us. And training at the same place that the boys train, having more of our games now at the Stoop on a regular basis is really good. And that is setting the bar for all the other Prem teams, within our Premiership, all the Prem teams to be like that and to align with their men's programme. And like, we have like Tofty, he does some of our skill sessions, and like Billy, he does our back sessions like during the week, which I think is really good. And it's refreshing to have different coaches that are up to date and like coaching a Premiership side.
Yeah. Do you ever have to cross paths with Joe Marler?
No, but he's
kept in a cage.
Yeah, he actually just smiles. He gets on well with Shauna, actually. Shauna loves him.
I was going to say, who is the Quinn's ladies version of Joe Marler?
Yeah, Shauna's pretty weird.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a television show in there between
Shauna. She actually said it the other day. She said, I really want a television show.
Right. And with Joe Marler, or she's just going solo from the off?
Solo on her own. And I was like, okay. Good. That's interesting.
Is there a treatment or any themes that would just give her a camera and off she goes?
The life of Shauna Brown.
Good. Commissioning editors will be on the phone. Yeah, exactly.
We should get her on.
Okay. Meeting up tomorrow at the Lensbury, is that right? Little WhatsApp group, do people start getting into it early or do you just turn up tomorrow?
No, just turn up tomorrow, really.
Right. What are we expecting? What kind of messaging has come from Simon Middleton and, what's
the
prep's been
like? The French are going to be hard because we've beaten them twice. Now, if you count the last Six Nations three times quite consecutively, and we beat them in France, which is really hard to do, and we haven't done for a very long time. So they're going to come at us and they're going to want to put their best foot forward to beat us. And I think everyone knows it's sort of the toughest game of the Six Nations sort of thing, especially for the women's game. So it's sort of like a win or lose of the Six Nations. So I think we'd try not to get ahead of ourselves because it's not until Sunday. So I actually haven't really thought about it that much. I think I packed my bag before I came and I was like, oh, I'm actually going into camp. Okay.
Do you get nervous? Are you somebody who sort of thinks about what's at stake, or do you just pop a pair of boots on and go and play?
Yeah, not really.
20 tries in 7 games. Jouer. Yeah, exactly.
That was said in like a meeting and they were like, Mids was like, do you get nervous? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, well, you hide it very well. And I was like, oh, well, I've always been taught that like nerves are good, so that's, I've never really allowed them to overcome. Effect. And I like playing at like big stadiums in front of like big crowds.
Where does France rank in the away trips? It looks from television that's the best.
Yeah, it is. It's the best. The crowds there are fantastic. They always like fill out and it's so loud, like so loud. You literally can't hear anything.
It was Grenoble last year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That looked mental.
Yeah, my
it's a good stadium that though, isn't it?
Yeah.
With the mountains and that.
Yeah, my housemate was playing and she was literally like, oh my God.
Who do you live with?
Ellie Cuddon.
Oh, do you?
Holly Aitchison.
Very good. Can I ask you about the pressure of it? So obviously we've been discussing this ridiculous strike rate that you've got and I suppose this amazing start to your career. Do you feel a sort of pressure? I mean, you've achieved so much so quickly. Yeah. Is that something you're conscious of or are you quite sort of relaxed about?
Yeah, no, I think I am quite conscious. I used to basically have this fear of if I hadn't scored a try in a game, I've played rubbish.
Right.
And I was like, why did I ever like think like that? And because my other parts of my game weren't that great, I've developed them. So now I think if I've made a good tackle or like made good defensive reads or like I've passed a ball, that's a positive and it shouldn't just be about the tries, but yeah. I used to put loads of pressure on scoring tries.
That is wingers.
Yeah.
You used to have a winger who literally, he'd play amazing, but he wouldn't score. Yeah. And he's like, I haven't scored for three games, I'm going to get dropped.
It's actually quite heartbreaking. Like, that's your job, isn't it, at the end of the day?
Like you're scoring three tries a game at the moment. Like, you've got a little bit of credit in the bank.
Credit, yeah.
International. But it's not. That's the thing, is it? Yeah, you know, you could create every other try for someone else, true, for your other winger on the other side.
But I think that's what I've developed in my game. So now I look at it like, oh, I've actually put the other winger away.
Have you always been a winger?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to play 10 for my club when I was like 17, but that's because no one else could pass. And my dad was like, just go in there, pass the ball. If you see a gap, run. If not, just pass.
Right. And were you scoring tries for fun at that level? Go on. What's the most number of tries you scored in a season?
I actually couldn't tell.
They went through 99 and they didn't have they never third digit.
The calculator,
no, I actually
never
counted. Like, I think because my dad was my coach, he didn't want to have that like favouritism aspect to it. So, and he would always just brush them off.
Yeah.
I'd just be like, oh, well done.
Was he quite a big factor in you getting into rugby?
Yeah.
What was his rugby story?
Yeah, so he played for our local team, played for the first team, played county.
What position was he?
Winger.
Oh, was he? Yeah. Runs in the family.
Fast twitch.
Yeah.
Fibers.
But my brother played 10, actually. He was quite a decision maker, which was odd.
Yeah.
Is he generally not?
I don't know your brother. Is that a personal thing? Or?
We can't make a decision.
Yeah. You do not make a decision.
He actually can't. I phoned him the other day. I was with his fiancée and I was like, and he phoned me and he was like, he said to me, what are we having for dinner? And I was like, can't you make a decision? You're 24 years old. Why are you asking your fiance what you're having for dinner? Can't you? And he's like, oh, I don't want to get it wrong. And I was like,
sounds like the perfect 10. Just lets everyone else around him.
Still a bit like that at 40.
Yeah. I can't even cook, so I wouldn't be asking. So, sort of expectations internally, is anything but a Grand Slam now for England disappointing?
I would think so, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I think
that's where you're now.
We want to go like back to back, and I think it'll put us in a really good place going into like obviously next year with the World Cup.
Are you talking World Cup already? I know everyone says one game at a time and we'll take it a week at a time.
No, yeah, we are.
Are you talking bigger picture? Yeah.
It's in everyone's head and it will come round so much quicker than we think it will.
Very, very quickly.
And you've got to play like the systems and our structure and you've got to get settled as a team like now, not maybe like 5 weeks before. So we have to be ready. I'm speaking about it now so that when it comes, you're not like, oh, God. And you've actually prepared yourself.
So will you use the Six Nations for sort of World Cup planning? Will there be scenarios and does Simon put you under stress at various points of it? See how you react?
Not to an extent, no, but as in we probably might have to play some of these teams in our pool as such or similar teams. So in that sense, it'll put us in a good place. But I think because obviously we've still got another Six Nations before the World Cup, he might end up doing scenario-based stuff a bit more and like mixing the team up maybe if someone's injured or if someone's like ill or whatever.
Yeah. Give us a bit of insight into people in the squad. Who is the noisiest?
Noisiest? Probably like Poppy, Cleo and Hannah Bottom.
Yes.
Yeah.
Marley? Is Marley noisy? Yeah. Marley's not there at the moment, is she?
No.
Will she be missed?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's like our governor. So we have. Like,
she is the governor.
She is governoress. Yeah. But she's put her duties down to Sarah McKenna, which is good. We had like a penalty shootout last week at training and it was actually quite fun. I'm not sure if it's ever going to come out, but I definitely didn't get it in the goal.
Right.
But I saved one, which was really good.
We're talking football penalty shootout.
Yeah, football penalty shootout. Nice. And I've never been good at football in my life.
Right.
Ever.
You missed the penalty, but you saved one. Good.
You scored when he tries off chips.
No. Have you ever seen me kick the ball?
There's room for improvement.
Who's coaching?
There you are. Where were Jacob Stockdale? Messiest?
Messiest? Oh.
Forgetting their belongings and never quite where they need to be at the right time?
Kelly Smith actually forgets quite a lot of her stuff, but actually our physio forgets her like jumper all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
Forgets the kit.
I've forgotten that could be a problem.
Yes, that's not terribly helpful. Who is the most particular? Who's like superstitious and has to have things exactly as they need it?
Oh, so in the changing room, I'm normally next to Skaz, like on a game day, and she brings this massive bag. Like, I just have my rucksack, that's it, like a hold-all bag. And I say to her every time, what have you got in there? She's like, everything that you'll ever need. And I'm like...
She's elite, though.
Yeah, and she'll get her slides out, and her shirt, and her towel, and her wash bags. And I just literally look at her, and I'm like, one day I'll be like that. But
You're probably like a bum bag, isn't she?
Jason Leonard used to turn up with a rucksack anything in it, but he almost managed to get it in there
because his boots were tiny.
But then you'll go to her and you'll be like, oh, do you have this? And she'll be like, yeah. And I'm like, okay, fine. I know if I don't have it, you're going to have it, so it's fine.
Superstitions? Anyone in the team got really old superstitions?
Some people like to sit certain places on the bus, like on game day, and like headphones, but I don't think anyone's like, oh. Yeah. I've never seen anyone like stress or like break into tears because they haven't like got something.
Okay. Who is the agony aunt? Who's the one that sorts out the problems?
She loves it.
Does she?
She loves it. She always like, do you want to cuddle? And I'm like, okay.
Everyone needs a dash from the team. Okay, cool. And sort of, I suppose, just a quick final thoughts. In terms of the first game, obviously, as the big one, what do you see as the big challenges?
I think Ireland will be a big challenge. I think if they are on their game and on form, they'll definitely bring it to us. I think any team, really. I think we have to go out there and push them to the limits for them not to be at their best, like at any team. But Italy, away in Italy, last game. If we do lose this Sunday, it might actually, you know, we might have to win by like a certain amount of points. That will put extra like pressure on us to like win the Six Nations, obviously not to get the Grand Slam. Yeah,
but quietly confident.
Yeah, you have to be, don't you?
Yeah. Good luck.
Thank you
for coming. You're going to stay and play our... You have to stay and play our game?
What is the game?
It's the Guinness Match Point Predictor League. Which is well worth mentioning, actually. We did this during the World Cup.
Don't have a choice, do I?
No, you don't. Yeah. You've got your seatbelt on, you can't get away. So we are going to introduce our friends at House of Rugby to our new game, which is going to replace the perfect pour during the Six Nations. The game is our Match Point Guinness Pint Predictor League, which is easier to say before your Guinness than after. It is very simple.
Shouldn't you learn your lines?
Right. Bang. Thank you very much indeed. Yes, one and only appearance on House of Rugby. You are now free to go.
No, I'm just asking.
Yeah, I like to make it just an authentic kind of experience.
That's fine.
Do you want to do it?
No. Right. No way.
Perfect. So, back to it. Back to reading the lines that I was meant to have learned. It's a very simple game. Take on your mates. More importantly, you can play against us, and you enter the league code HOR by downloading the app, which is the Match Point Guinness Point Predictor, and then enter the league code HOR. Jess is going to join us, aren't you? Actually, you're probably not allowed to for logistical reasons, but you're very welcome if you'd like to. Here's what you need to do. Predict the score margin. If you get it bang on, you win a pint of Guinness immediately. If you're correct within three, you win a pint for yourself that can be claimed the following Monday to Friday. And if you get the margin right within seven, you'll win a giftable Guinness to send to someone else. Is that clear?
Straight away. What do you mean by straight away?
Like literally, you can go straight to the bar and drink a pint of Guinness on the house. Get it bang on, you get a free pint of Guinness. Yep. Drink whenever you like. Get it within three, and you
what
can.
What if
have
I'm
a...
at my house?
You're making this quite complicated, Jess. It's very, very simple.
You go to
then
a
you
pub.
Go to a pub.
Right.
Probably with your ID.
Okay.
But the rest of us will be welcome warmly. Good. Moving swiftly on. If you're top of the overall table at the end of each round, you'll win a Guinness Six Nations tickets.
Whoa.
That's quite nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
Little ooh from the crowd. Do check out our prizes tab in the league to see what we're offering to the winner of each round. Special prizes like Stash, which is very nice. Tins is donated. Or live pod tickets for ours and other pods are available at each round of games. So download the Match Point Predictor Guinness app, enter HOR and
simple.
Get involved.
Yeah.
T's and C's may apply. If that hasn't put you off, I don't know what will. It's genuinely very easy. It's really good fun. You will inevitably beat all of the legends who are in there.
Yeah, I guarantee you'll beat me.
Hask is, I think, still on zero, having been playing for many years. Tins, quite rogue. You're quite sort of scattergun in your approaches.
Yeah.
Italy by 20. And
I go for what I want to happen rather than what will actually happen.
Yeah.
Which last year meant Ireland losing a lot.
Yes.
Which they didn't. They scraped some victories.
In short, it's great fun. Download the Matchpoint app from the App Store, set your score predictions, you'll win loads of prizes. It's a hoot. You're not allowed to predict what's going to happen in the Women's Six Nations, apparently. So you're going to predict what's going to happen in the Men's Six Nations. Are you allowed to do that? Good. Predictions for this weekend. Round one of the Guinness Six Nations, which begins on Saturday. Defending champions Wales taking on Italy.
Oh, every game, sorry.
It was only three.
Yeah, but I thought it was just going to be the English game. Sorry.
It's round one. Wales-Italy. Let's have a score prediction, and then we'll enter them into the league and people can play against it. Wales against Italy at the Principality Stadium. First game for Wayne Pivot. I'm going to come to you first of all.
34-6.
Oh. Very particular, like that.
Mm. Well, you have to be particular. It's the whole point of the game.
Yes, that's very true. Well done for being very particular in this particular game. Yes.
26-12. Also, could
That's very good, because Wales will start slowly. I like that.
And I also think you have to actually think of the numbers, don't you? Because sometimes you can't actually have numbers, can you?
I know what you're saying. You can't actually get to that number.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like you couldn't say two.
We can get to every number.
How about go for it?
3-2. You can get to every number after five, though, can't you? Yes.
Let's find out.
Yeah.
We could break it. You can get to any number after five. I'm going to...
Yeah, I reckon you might be right.
Tins, you're actually thinking this through.
I think you're right.
Yeah, okay. Good. So don't think about it too long.
Yeah, sorry.
Anything over five and you're away. Wales, Italy, Tins.
I'm going to go 48-11 to Wales.
Okay, I like that. Apparently I've got to do mine as well, which I haven't put a lot of thought in. I'm going to go 52-16.
Wow.
Generous to Italy.
Do you think? No, because there'll be a trial to in there. I'm going to get Scotland.
33-12.
Wow.
42.
Ooh, hello.
Ooh, stop it.
10.
Okay, 42-10.
That's smashing.
I'm not sure how popular it'll be north of the border off the back of that.
What are you doing
good.
Here?
I think it's going to be 26-10.
26-10. I'm going to do 32-18 with absolutely no thought at all. France against England. Jess. I'm liking the thought.
I'm just seeing my
trying to
train.
Think.
Oh, Christ, come on. Hey, you're right. Start the car for 10.
24-22.
To France?
No, sorry, to England. 22-24.
That was what it was a few years ago.
I'll go 18-20.
18-20. Tins?
Yeah, I'm going to go 18-26.
18-26. I'm going to go 15-30. Big in the win. What are we doing with that, Si? Is that just for those who find it interesting?
Do we have to play those numbers now?
Are we doing anything with that? No, just for fun. I'm glad we took so long over that.
Just to make me miss my train.
Jess, thank you so much for coming and making yourself very at home and issuing the handouts to those of us who like to make a living out of
We'll be very disappointed if the three tries a match doesn't continue.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Can we have a quick spread bet on the number of tries you're going to have? What is Jess Breach tries Six Nations 2020?
Last year I got 9.
You got 9. Quick prediction on?
11.
Oh. 13. If you don't score 13 tries, frankly, you're letting yourself down this year.
I was going to go more 15.
Wow, Jesus Christ.
All right.
Wow.
I think the team's going to be on fire and you're going to be the beneficiary.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Will you come back and see us afterwards?
Yeah, of course.
Good. Please do. Send our very best to all the squad.
Hope
it goes well.
Thank you.
And go get them.
Thanks.
And that is it for this week. Tins has got a train to catch. I need to read this very quickly. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening to House of Rugby, brought to you by Joe Together, our friends at Guinness, for a YouTube show and a podcast. Don't forget Liquid Football with Kelly Cates and the team every Monday. And the TKO special with Tommy Coyle. Very emotional on that as he announces his retirement. Plus, we've got a Facebook group for chat and merchandise. Please sign up and join the conversation. T-shirts are available. We've got new T-shirts coming, Tins.
Whoa.
Including one for you. Thank you, Mike.
Where's Zoe?
Tom. And Zoe, yes. And to Zoe. Your run.
Yeah.
You've got 5 seconds.
150 miles around London, London Loop for Doddy Weir's Foundation and Teenage Cancer Trust. And I'm going to split it between Doddy Weir and Rob Burrow.
Oh, good man.
So anyone that either fancies joining the run or
donating, which would be amazing.
We'll put a link in our
Facebook. Yeah.
Are you just giving or?
I'm on Virgin Money. Yeah, whatever it is. Yeah.
Okay, we'll stick that on the thing. When are you doing it?
Start March 2nd. I finish March the 7th.
Jesus. Good luck.
It's a long way on two tiny little pins.
That is very true.
They're very short.
I'll do a mark. We've got a live show next week in London. Fear not. We will be heading out of London towards the end of the Six Nations. Look out Wales is all I'll say. I didn't know that, but look out Wales. Because of that, though, the show is going to be available a day later than usual next week, so we'll be with you on Thursday. Very important, the ticket deal.
Sorry.
Start.
That's where it needs
very important. The ticket details for next week will be on the House of Rugby Facebook page. See you in 8 days. Good luck, Jessica. Get them. Go and get your train. Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye.
You've been listening to the House of Rugby on Joe, together with Guinness. Drink responsibly. Visit drinkaware.co.uk for the facts.